Ties have been a subject of some conversation in the last couple of years. So I got to tell you, I was serving the Gloucester First United Methodist Church, Gloucester City. It was time for the offering, so I rose and I said, I invite the ushers to come forward as we continue to worship with our tithes and offerings. The lay leader stood up in the back of the church, took off his tie, put it in the offering plate, and it was then I had realized I just told the people we were going to worship with our tithes and our offerings. And then we had in Rancocas Village, a Quaker village, the Methodist church there, we had some families from Sierra Leone who worshiped with us, Sierra Leone on the African coast. Every once in a while, they would come to church in their brilliant native garb, gowns and headpieces in the works, brilliant colors. Well, two of the boys were in confirmation class with me. At the end of confirmation class, as a gift to me, they gave me a brilliant orange tie. I mean, a brilliant orange tie. See Jim sitting out here with that shirt? Kick it up a couple notches and you got that brilliant orange tie. Well, I got to tell you, it didn't really go with a pinstripe suit. But it was out of love. And I would wear that tie sometimes when we had Mission Sundays particular, celebrating the church around the world. So ties are something we can wear, we can laugh about. Let's spend some time now in silent praying. Ask that God might be with me with these words and with all who have gathered. Incline thine ears unto us, O Lord, and hear our prayers. Amen. In Genesis, we read the call of Abram by God. And the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Basically, God was saying to Abraham, pick it up, pack it up, and follow me, and I'll let you know where we're going when we get there. Abram was faithful to God. He left his country, he left his relatives, he left his father's household. And God offered a promise to Abram. And that promise was fulfilled when he became the father of that great nation of Israel. I still today believe this call. It's much like the ones given to every itinerant pastor in the United Methodist Church. From time to time, God calls for us to pick it up, pack it up, and move to a new location. Leaving behind the familiar, leaving behind the security of that place. Because the bishop is going to appoint you to a new location, which could be a challenge and an opportunity. Well, it all began for me in the Browns Mills Methodist Church in 1964. Remember, we were not yet United Methodist. During the annual revival meetings held in our church each year, I answered God's call to serve him in ordained ministry. I can remember Dr. Jimmy Reese telling me at the altar that evening that this road would not be an easy one. But then how easy was it to travel to Calvary? I thank God for that church which supported me in my high school and college years. I am thankful to the Southern New Jersey Annual Conference for its scholarships that enabled me to attend college and then seminary. And I'm very thankful to the Reverend Al Lang, my first district superintendent, who knew that his soon-to-be groom was very anxious in Kentucky, wondering where he was going to live. And he called me and told me that I was being appointed to the ATCO and Tansboro United Methodist Churches. So I have served as an associate pastor of a large membership church. I've served as senior pastor of a parish of three churches. And most of my appointments have been the circuit, literally that circuit riding preacher. I've had the privilege to serve on several district and conference committees, serving as chair and as secretary. And over the years, I've been on mission teams to Ecuador and Colombia, South America, to Redbird in Kentucky, and to many places on our eastern coast. And I today still praise God for three laypersons in my churches who today are serving the Greater New Jersey Annual Church as pastors. Going back to my very first appointment, in the summer, the youth group and I would get together and we'd go out and bale the straw and we'd stack it in the barns. And I'd meet Mrs. Pepper. My very first sermon in the Atco Church, she came up and let me know that she was diabetic and that she had to eat at certain times. And if it got past noon, sometimes her son would come looking for her because he would be afraid that she would have a spell and fall and injure herself. Well, after that first sermon, she came up to me just like Grandmom does and grabbed you by the cheek. And she said, "You'll do just fine." So what does one preach for a final sermon? Some advise now's the time to say everything you wanted to say, but you didn't say it. No, I don't live that way. If it couldn't have been said at that time, now's not the time to say it. Some advise that you retell the story of all the accomplishments that you have done together. What message do you give to students, to new members, or to the congregation? Well, I think we ought to go back and listen to the elder statesman, the evangelist, the spiritual father. For our scripture lesson today is Paul's letter to a young Christian named Timothy. Chapters 3 and 4 are Paul's final words and charge to this young man of faith. Paul confesses, "I've almost reached the end of my ministry, for I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure." The scripture says that some will desert him or have already deserted him. Some will stay with him to the end. And he will also send some of those friends out to go and minister in new ministries in new lands. But for all intended purposes, Paul's ministry is finished. Does Paul give up? No, he utters those words, "Bring me a coat and bring my books." For Paul would hope that he would still be able to travel and study. But one thing he did, he kept on exhorting them. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned." He said to those who must stay, "Preach the word, rebuke and reprove, but love one another and do away with any bitterness." And Paul demonstrated that ministry goes on. So it is by the action of the bishop that I, for these 2 months, will move on to the Rules United Methodist Church as its interim pastor, and then, if God wills, retirement. I'm still a member of the Greater New Jersey Annual Conference, and I have the rights as an elder in the United Methodist Church. We have our retirement home surrounded by our family, and I know that God has new opportunities and challenge. For I always believe that God leads in many ways. You are God's great cloud of witness in this community. This community needs your strengths, your concerns, your love, and your support. And you will join together with the gifts and the graces of Pastor Bob. And you will continue to ministry in this community. And here is what Paul charges us. Preach the word of mouth, or by the way you lead your life. Be ready in and out of season, every day of life. Correct and rebuke. Don't be afraid, for God asks you to live this way every day. Encourage and have great patience and give careful instructions. Help the new members, help the new believers, help the non-believers. And why it is important that is still done today. 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their own ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. We must continue to preach and teach the word of God, for there are those in this world that would speak against it, who want to hear only those things that sound good to them and not the word of God. Paul then offers some personal feelings when he says, I have come to the end. My pitcher is almost empty. He gives us the vision of being poured out as a drink offering. He says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. But in the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only me, but also all who loved his appearing. So Paul preaches to the very end. He says, come and visit me. Bring your friends. Do good works for God. But bring me my coat and my books. I would give God praise and thanks for the 2 years that we have ministered together. We have worshiped and we have celebrated together. I mean, I got to even sing in the senior choir. And I got to tell you, there was one church that one time said to me, Pastor, when we sing a hymn, could you please step back away from the mic? Yeah. Joanne's told me over the years, I either add a verse or a different tune from time to time. We have studied God's word. We have shared both the broken loaf and the shared cup of Holy Communion. We've been God's presence in this community, even in those days when you stood ready with the internet cafe. You've reached out to the Willow Run home several times, helping the children and lastly helping them after the fire that took some homes. We have cared for the local school children, making sure they had supplies that enabled them to learn. For some, we have walked through the valley of the shadow of death together. We've enabled the trustees to improve the building and the landscaping. And we have eaten well at dinners and breakfasts. And how many are still counting their blessings by the prayer shawl that was given to them? And by your faithfulness, you now have a lift installed that allows folks to get to the fellowship hall and have full use of the building. And so many other ways that often go unseen and unheralded. Over the years, in the moment when the phone rang and it was the call of the superintendent or the deadline for my retirement, I will say that I did go right to the end of the deadline before I submitted my retirement letter, still wondering if that's God, what God wanted me to do. But I realized that I work with people, that I have given my life to serve God. As one who was called into the Greater New Jersey Annual Conference and then here at West Willow, I go as God leads. Though the phone calls over the years may have led to frustration and questioning, why me, why now, why there? I truly know that God's hand is in all things. And though my heart be weary and heavy, I go with confidence. I can say that I have finished the race. God chose 2 years. Perhaps we would have liked more. So this Sunday, I leave the security of this pulpit, the fellowship that knows me, the fellowship that I know. And after 2 years, I leave people whom I love dearly in Christ. But you're not alone. You've got a newly licensed local pastor in Pastor Bob, and he now has the paperwork to prove it. Yeah. Keep it clean. I pray you will open yourselves to your pastor and his family. Continue to give Pastor Bob your trust and your confidence. May we never be tempted to say, we've never done it that way. Live through the times of change, for change can be good. Over the years, when moving, some people have asked me those questions. Well, pastor, is it a promotion? Is it a larger congregation? Is it a bigger house? Is it more salary? And when we moved to Pensauken, people asked me, are you going to the good side of town or the bad side of town? But I've always found when God calls and you pick up and pack up and you follow God's leading, He puts you in a good place. Well, bring me my coat and my books. There still is a race to be run. So let us preach the word. Let us be ready. Let us correct and rebuke and teach. Always encourage one another and always love one another. Remember, we will run our race in a different location. You will run your race here at the West Willow United Methodist Church and in your communities. For me, it's a 2-month journey to Rules, and then whatever God has after that. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on the day of His return. And the prize is not just for me, but all who eagerly look forward to His glorious turn. The finish line, my friends, is always the same place. It will be in heaven with our Lord and Savior. If you get there first, save me a seat. I'm coming. And all God's children said, Amen. Let's rise and sing together.